Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. We are continuing the Siyata Dishmaya, our series of Shiurim in the Silas Yisharim. Such a tremendous chizuk. A person just internalizes these ideas. It's a pashut ma'apach. It's a revolution. We spoke about the third mafsid. The second mafsid is Leitzanus. Consider the severity of levity and its destructive power of Leitzanus. For just like a smear, a shield, smeared with oil, deflects and drops arrows from him, causing them to fall to the ground, bringing them from reach the body of the man, so to his levity, before rebuke and reprimand. And someone said, for he said, you don't need the oil on the arrow. The arrow is enough, on the shield. Just the shield is enough. To say Leitzanus is like a shield. Now, if it would just be a shield and you shoot an arrow at the shield, so it leaves a roshim on the shield, even if it doesn't hit the person. It'll leave some sort of roshim. But you have the oil on there, and the oil, it just sort of doesn't even leave a roshim. So if you have an arrow, it might stick to the shield. Here, nothing. Just it's gonna fall right away, and it might even not even make a mark. It might not even make a mark. That's what the Sefer suggested. For with one act of levity or a little laughter, a man casts from himself a great many rousings and impressions that the heart was made to feel due to stimulation and seeing or hearing matters that awakened him to an accounting and examination of his deeds. I still remember when I was a young bacher in yeshiva, very young, maybe 16, and the Rav was giving a musr shmuz, and it was about the Kedusha of Yosef at Tzadik. And the yeshiva I learned in this yeshiva was very strong on musr. And that was where I got my love for learning musr from this yeshiva. And why don't I say the name of the yeshiva? Give him a shout out, Yeshiva Sor David. And this is going back to the 1980s. Wow. So this is about 1988 or so. And 87 or 88. So the Rebbe was talking about Yosef at Tzadik in the Kedusha of Gershom Brachman Shlita. So I'm at the Kedusha of Yosef at Tzadik, and he said something, and then he paused, I guess for effect. And I was sitting in the crowd. I was starting my career as a comedian already then. And I said something. I still remember what I said. It was, for a 16-year-old, it was a funny joke. Today I wouldn't make it. But back then, you know, it was the roaring 80s, different world. And I was a kid. So I made this joke, and then all the yeshiva cracked up. And afterwards, he was very sweet about it, took me aside. And he explained to me, I don't remember what his words were, but I remember how he did it in a very sensitive way. I was a sensitive little boy. I still am, just now I'm a sensitive big boy. And he explained to me how I basically ruined this whole Musr Shmuz. One joke, that's it. And the truth is I don't remember what the Musr Shmuz was about. I just remember my joke. And if anybody else in the yeshiva remembers, if they remember, they probably don't. But if they do, they also probably remember the joke. One Leitzanus. And Leitzanus is you're taking a serious matter and you're just making a joke out of it. That's what I did. So, in the Rambam, you shouldn't publicly, confess your averus ben on lamakom, based on the Gemara. Ram says a chiddush that you should publicly say in general you did averus ben on lamakom without specifying. I want to know where the Rambam gets that from aquaponim, but this was also pugam ben on lachavero, and because I definitely was pogea on the Rav, and I ruined his shmuz. And in addition to that, there's a great lesson to be learned here, Rabbi say. Power of Leitzanus, just to destroy the whole shmuz. Heard a good vort from, I think I heard this from Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman Shlita, the Nasi of Yeshiva Sravena Yitzhak Elchanan Yeshiva University. And he said he used to go to Rabbi Lam. He was a rabbi in the Jewish Center on the Upper West Side. And he would go to Rabbi Lam, who was the previous rabbi, not immediately the previous, but sometime before. I think Rabbi Lam was there until 77 when he became president of YU. And he was followed by the great, late great Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, Zecher Tzaddik Levracha. And here is Shiurim online. Just extraordinary. There was nothing like it. Absolutely nothing like it. And then afterwards it's Rabbi Schachter. Anyway, I'm an Upper West Sider, but I didn't daven very often in the Jewish Center, but I would go there to play basketball. In any event, he used to go to Rabbi Riskin to ask him for advice, for guidance. And he once gave a talk, he gave a drasha. And Rabbi Lam said to him afterwards, you know, that he gave him a little bit of a rebuke or a little bit of constructive criticism about the humor. And from what I remember, Rabbi Berman said, what, it wasn't funny? So Rabbi Lam said it was too funny. That was when there's too much humor, then the message could be lost. So I see that great speakers, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks was like that also, a phenomenal speaker, I imagine Rabbi Bernstein also, Rabbi Lam also, Rabbi Berman also, all great speakers, incredible speakers, so much to learn from them. But they know how to use humor, but not to overuse it. To use it as a tool to help convey a message, to help put people at ease, to make it more palatable, make it more enjoyable. But it's too much humor, then that people lose the message and they only get the humor. So I'm definitely guilty of that, definitely. Hashem gave me a special love for humor, and I overuse it. And somebody once told me, a woman once told me, she went to a shiur, a very popular speaker, one of those speakers who's really on the circuit, you know. He's asked to speak in so many different places and at Pesach programs and Sukkot programs and summer programs, and this yeshiva and that seminary, one of those really popular people. And he's a very, very talented person, a scholar, a Yari Shamayim, and he's also very funny. And this woman told me that she was laughing, but she didn't like his speech. It was too much humor. It was just overdone. And so this guy goes away from his speech thinking, wow, everyone loved it. Look at how much they laughed. And yet the way some people take it is that it's too much. And I think that's the lesson here of the Mesillas Yeshayahu. Not to make leitzanis, not to make light of important things, which is what leitzanis is. It's what Futner talks about in Ma'amarim on Purim. One of the Ma'amarim on Purim. A Moloch is leitzanis, devaluing important things. But in addition to that, even if you're not devaluing things, but when you use humor, not to overuse it, because then the message gets lost. And then a person, all right, it's a big joke. You have nothing to be worried about. That's why I heard someone else comment that today the comedians make jokes about death and about religion. Those are two of the most popular topics, because those are the most serious things in life, right? Death, religion, God, meaning. And they make jokes of it. So you don't have to take it seriously. We go to a club, they laugh. That's the end of it. You just go and you don't have to worry. It's a big joke. You know, George Burns, also known as Nussan Birnbaum, I think his name was Nathan Birnbaum, but he had a very Jewish name. And he was a comedian, an entertainer, for about 95 years. He literally went until about 101. And 101. That's his name. His name is Nussan Birnbaum. Nathan Birnbaum. And he was already entertaining from the time he was a little boy. He was born in New York City On January 20th, 1896, the ninth of 12 children born to Hadassah and Eliezer Birnbaum. Incredible. Hadassah Dorr, her maiden name was Bluth, and his father's name was Eliezer. He was known in America as Lewis or Lipa. And they came from Galicia. And his father was a member of the first Romanian-American congregation, known as the congregation Shari Shamayim. Or Romanische Shul, obviously a frum shul that occupied a historical building, 89 to 93 Rivington Street on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And his father was a part-time chazan. That's how he made his living. But an Erel Chayit. Usually he was a co-presser. So there was an influenza epidemic of 1903. So this Eliezer Lipa Birnbaum contracted the flu and died at the age of 47. So Burns, they used to call him Nati or Nate. So he worked to help the family, support the family, shining shoes, running errands, selling newspapers. And then they found him, and he started being an entertainer. He's a very, very little boy. And then, of course, like most of these famous actors, Jewish people, his first wife was Jewish, Anna Siegel, and their marriage lasted all of 26 weeks. And it only took place because the family wouldn't let her tour with Burns unless they were married. And at the end of the tour, they divorced. And then he meets Gracie Allen, a young Irish Catholic woman, in 1923. And then they wed in 1926. And that's it. Changed his name eventually to George Burns. And he remained married to Gracie for all those years. So why am I telling you this story? Because George Burns was considered a funny guy. I don't know if today he'd be considered so funny. But back in the day he was. And he has a book about, he has a movie, 1980. Oh God, Book 2, 1977. Made the first one, Oh God, and he plays God. It's a big joke. It's a big joke. Another movie, he plays God in 1984. So you make a big late sonnus of the Rabbanu Shalom, Rachmanu Litzlan. And then your whole life is just a big late sonnus. And then you end up being George Burns. You're just remembered for something important. Make people feel good is important. Make people laugh. But what is he left with? Arthur Marx estimated that Burns smoked about 300,000 cigars. That was his hanah, cigars. And if I'm not mistaken, he left no children. Oh, that's not true. Two children I see over here. But not Jewish children. And the reason I remember that he had no children is because his two children were both adopted. You know, biological children. any event, his son, incidentally, was also an actor, Ronald Sean Burns. Died in 2007. So his whole life was a late sonnus, and therefore you can't talk to him about the Rabbanu Shalom or anything, because now it's a joke. And he spread that joke to the world. Now he's telling the whole world, no, you don't have to take religion seriously. It's all late sonnus. The power of levity knocks it all to the ground, thus not making any impression whatsoever on him. This is not due to the ineffectiveness of the matters, nor to lack of understanding on his part, but rather pushes the power of leitzanus, which demolishes all matters of musar and fear of Hashem. It's hoyres. So leitzanus is hoyres. It's destructive. Vina Novi Yeshaya Itzavech Azek Kruchia. Kayarosh is Zahaya Mashalaya Meniach Mokum the Tokhosov. Shiasa Roshim. Vayim Abi Tikvasim Shalachotim. Usha Mashamar. Vatal Tislosisu Penyachasku Musrechem. Behold, the prophet Yeshaya would scream like a crane, like a bird. For he saw that this was what left no room for his rebukes to make an impression, thus ruining all hope for sinners. And this is what he said, and now, do not be mockers. Don't be misloitzesim, lest your afflictions be strengthened. Kragazer amru chachameinu zichronam levracha, shaleitz mevi a yisurim alav. Aletz brings upon himself yisurim. Buma shakasav atzam amavar beferush. Judgments are prepared for the frivolous. This is something reason dictates. One who is aroused through reflection and study doesn't need the ordeal of bodily sufferings, since he will repent of his sins even without this. He repents by means of thoughts of repentance, awakening in his heart stimulated by the reading or hearing the reprimands and rebukes. But the frivolous are not impacted by the rebukes due to the power of levity. Therefore, there's no way to rectify them except through sufferings. But they're not capable of deflecting the impact of sufferings through the power of levity, like they do so with rebukes. A guy sitting in a hospital bed, it's not a joke anymore. According to the severity of its sin and its consequences, the true judge increased its punishment. As Chachamim say, levity is extremely severe. It starts with suffering and ends in utter destruction. Now, do not be mockers, lest your bonds be strengthened for a decree of destruction. I have heard. The month of Adar is the month of laughter. In Kabbalah, the power of laughter can be used either for good or for bad. On one hand, we find Sari Maynard named her son Yitzchok because she had tzchok when she heard she was going to have a child. It's a holy kind of laughter. There's also an evil laughter, like we saw with the tzchok mazuosa. What is this laughing about? So explains the Baal HaLevavi. That there are two positive ways to use laughter. Laughter can take away a person's sadness. And in other ways that it counters anger. When a person's angry, he's not laughing. The answer of Yitzhak Kaduri, who lived to be over 100, what his secret of longevity is. He said whenever he was getting angry, he started to laugh. Person gets angry as Sichas Hadamim, his blood boils. So he laughs, he thinks of something funny, calms down. So when you laugh, you see things from a different perspective. Once you see it from a different perspective, it just becomes funny. The whole thing becomes funny. And Chazal say that all leitzanus is aser except for leitzanus ad avodah zarah. That's what a person has to do. A person has to make light of shtusim. There's holy laughter, like we see in Rabbi would start a shir with a joke, most of the b'dichase. And then there's unholy laughter, and that's leitzanus, and that's making light of important things. And it's so critical that we use the anger for what's good and not for what's evil. So, Mirtz Hashem, we will continue. There's so much more to say about Leitzanus. But Tefastim, Ruba Lo Tefasta, Tefastim Mo Tefasta. And we have to be careful not to reject Musar with humor. Making a big joke out of it, it's not a big deal. That's the danger. All the Tochachas aren't going to work. Thank you so much for listening. Shalom, shalom, see you.